Have you ever listened to a passage of scripture that changed your life? Well, we've just listened to two passages from Luke's Gospel and the book of Acts that changed the lives of two men. Both men responded dramatically. One who was present to see the Christ child at the beginning of his life on earth, and the other who heard about Jesus Christ shortly after his death from a passionate, wandering evangelist. In Luke chapter 2, Simeon, an old, devout, and righteous man, recognizes the baby in the temple as the Lord's Messiah. He spent his life waiting to see the one who would deliver Israel and set the people free. And now he sees him and holds him in his arms. In Acts 8, an Ethiopian eunuch is reading a passage from Isaiah which he can't understand. Philip, led by an angel, offers to explain the meaning and tell him the good news of Christ. The Ethiopian responds by asking for baptism. Two men coming to faith in Jesus Christ in different ways. One through a revelation through a first-hand experience of Jesus, and the other a revelation through the gospel being explained and taught. How do we come to faith? How do we as a church or individually help people to come to faith? Our series on Acts has been looking at how the early church grew and how people came to faith. And today we're going to look at the story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. So how did Philip bring him to faith? Well, I'd just like to pause and tell you a few things about Philip, because I really think Philip is going to become my pin-up chap now. He really is an amazing man. We first hear of him as one of the many increasing number of disciples. But he's special because he's chosen to be one of the seven men known to be full of the spirit and wisdom who takes over the daily distribution of food. After the stoning of Stephen, a great persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem. Philip leaves Jerusalem to become an evangelist. And no easy task, because he goes to Samaria. And the Samaritans had for 1,000 years been at war with the Jewish tribes. When the crowds hear Philip and see the signs that he performs, they all pay close attention to what he's saying. They are impressed by his healing powers over mental and physical health, and they are moved by his words. Not only that, he brings great joy to the city. Would that all preachers brought great joy to their congregations. So at the beginning of our passage, we have a man who is full of wisdom and spirit. He's well respected, he's fearless, he's a healer, and he's a passionate proclaimer of the gospel. And now we learn he's obedient. He's obedient to the Spirit. He, as instructed, he leaves Samaria and he takes a desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza, where he sees an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot. Presumably that wasn't a normal sight. He runs up to the chariot, and he hears the Ethiopian reading aloud from a scroll of the book of Isaiah. And he asks the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Now, I'm assuming he said it like this, that he didn't say, "Do you understand what you're reading?" in a rather condescending sort of a way. Philip responds to the questions that the Ethiopian asks. He starts from the man's current understanding of the Isaiah prophecy. He tells him how it relates to Jesus, and then he tells him about the good news of Jesus. He starts where this man's faith is, and he takes him along a journey to explain who the Christ is. Again, he listens and responds to the Ethiopian's request to be baptized. Philip is an incredible evangelist. He's not put off by danger, he's not put off by some high-ranking official from a foreign land. He is there preaching the gospel. He is in many ways like a very dear friend of ours who's died a few weeks ago. We have a friend called the Reverend Jack Lucas, who was an assistant priest at St. Luke's and St. Nicholas in Deptford. And this man just beamed God every time I spoke to him. Wherever I met him, in church, out of the church, he spoke about God. Anyone who came through the door, didn't matter whether they were new or old, spoke about God. Wherever he went, it turns out that our plumber used to know Jack. He was a lad on the same estate as Jack. And he says he remembers getting into quite a lot of trouble. We didn't go into what the trouble was. But Jack would be there, and Jack would ask a question. He wouldn't be judgmental. He'd just be there, and he'd ask a question. He was a great evangelist. And I think it's important to remember, the Bible tells us about Philip the evangelist, but there are evangelists today, and there will be evangelists tomorrow. And it could be one of you. So, the Ethiopian eunuch, what about him? Well, he's a high-ranking official in the court. We don't know whether he was Jewish by birth or a convert, but he clearly had a genuine zeal and interest in his faith, because he's taken the trouble to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which is a long way, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And he's honest enough to say he doesn't have a clue what the passage means. And I think that is honest. And I think if we're honest, we feel from time to time we haven't a clue what's going on in the passage. And that's not very surprising. The Bible, the Old Testament, was written over a period of about 700 years, from about 1000 BC to about 170, a bit more than about 800 years. The New Testament is written from about 70 AD to just after 100 AD. That's a long time ago. It's not surprising we don't get all the allusions. But the point is, there is the message, there is the gospel of Jesus contained within those pages. That's why we read it. And this, so the Ethiopian responded to the message, and he was baptized. And he went away rejoicing, looking really, really happy. This Ethiopian is the first African to be converted. And I just want to digress for a quick moment. This morning we've just sung Light of the World. The first time I heard that was at a Spring Harvest conference in 2005. And at that conference, there was a young black man who was preaching. He was really sensational. I have no idea what he said. I can't remember. But I went up to him afterwards. I said, that was sensational. And he said, well, thank you very much. I have, in fact, come from Nigeria. I'm a trained doctor. I've come to this country to evangelize and to convert you. And he said, you must come and see me in my church. And he wrote down in my diary his name and his address. Come and see me in North London. 2 years later, 3 years later, I was at a Woolwich conference, lay conference, to be introduced to the new Bishop of Woolwich. And the Bishop of Woolwich is my young man, my young black African man. So it comes back. Just see the seeds of evangelism. See if you can find a bishop. How do we as a church and individually help people to come to faith? That's the real question. And I want to offer two things. Be evangelists with God-centered love. Philip reflects the very heart of God. He cares for the widows. He cares for the Samaritans, even though they hate the Jews. He cares for the Ethiopian eunuch, although as a eunuch, he would not have been allowed in the temple courts. There's no prejudice here. There's just the heart of God. So how can we grow in love? Philip understood the gospel to mean loving those who have been considered outsiders. And like my friend Jack, he has a big heart to reach as many outsiders as he can. And we were outsiders, don't forget. All of us. Until someone helped us into faith. Until someone taught us the good news of Jesus Christ. And now it's our turn, and we can be evangelists in all sorts of ways. The Everyday Faith Initiative in the Church of England is helping us to see how each one of us can live out our faith in our daily lives. It shows us how many people express their faith in the way they work with others, the way they conduct their businesses, and how they care for other people. So let's be bolder, and let's bring Jesus into our conversations with family, friends, and colleagues, people at the bus stop, people at the supermarket, anywhere. Be bold. Be evangelists with God-centered love. The next thing is be bold by the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit, like Philip. The book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit called Philip to mission. Philip didn't say, well, really not now. I never really liked the desert very much. I don't think I'm going to go there. Or, why don't you send someone else? I really think the Apostle Peter would be a better person for the job. No. God's ways are not our ways. And this is not superstition. This is not about hearing voices or somehow going bonkers. God speaks to us, each one of us, in the stillness, in the calm. We need to make time to hear what he's saying to us. That doesn't mean when you sit at home and you shut the door, God will speak to you right on cue. But by putting yourself in an attitude of mind where you are ready to receive, when you are ready, when God is ready, you will receive. But we need to pray. We need to pray in the morning, lunchtime, in the evening, 3 seconds, whatever it is. Keep praying. Keep being open. Be led by the Holy Spirit. But how do we come to faith and grow in faith ourselves? Be curious about our faith, like the eunuch. The Ethiopian really, really wanted to know about Jesus. When Philip told him that the passage from Isaiah foretold the coming of Christ, and then told him the good news, he responded. His interest started with curiosity. Curiosity led to a life-changing encounter. We don't have to have degrees in theology, but we do need to be curious about our faith. We don't need to read large, complicated books, but we do need to read the Bible. But don't just read the Bible. Look at the bookshop. Listen to Bridget, who'll tell us about the Archbishop of Canterbury's Lent book. Different books will suit us at different times. One book I really like is, the title of which is, You Can't Walk on Water Unless You Get Out of the Boat. That may not speak to me now, but it spoke to me then. Be curious. Go online. Have a look. I think the great thing about this church is that it's expanding its offer to help us meet our curiosity all the time. There are now community lunches, there are house groups, meditation groups, informal evening groups, bereavement group. This is really good because it's offering all of us an opportunity to be curious, to learn more about our faith at a level, at a time that we can cope with. This is good. But the point of all this activity is to understand the gospel and to respond. So the last thing is, be responsive, like Philip and the Ethiopian. We can all have biblical knowledge, but if we don't respond to the gospel message, we are not transformed. Jesus came to transform us. The message that Christ died for us. He died to remove the sin and guilt from our lives so that we might live in peace and love with God and with all people. And this does seem a time when we need many prayers for peace and love with people. And God wants us to be thankful and to be joyful. The Ethiopian left with joy. Something had happened, something had changed. So what will change you today? What will transform your life? Did you hear anything in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian that's touched your heart, that says, I get it. There's something about this that I understand. I can relate to not understanding the Bible. Whatever you do, be open, be prayerful, be vigilant. I'm going to end with the first verse of a lovely hymn from Iona, which seems to sum up the response that we are being invited to make. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be known, shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Let us pray. Be evangelists with God-centered love. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Go forth to be a light in your world. Encourage others in their faith and be encouraged by others. Bring joy to others in time of sorrow and happiness. Proclaim the gospel at all times. Use words if you must. Amen.